Good morning, everybody. Those in Woodside, Minnetonka, and those worshiping online, glad we could be together. We're jumping right into it. Take out your teaching notes as we launch into this new series. By the way, you can download those if you're worshiping online with us. But Life Ready Kids, five questions every parent needs to ask. And really, there are five questions all of us need to ask, whether we're parents or not. Question number one, so clear, am I preparing them for success and failure? That's my message today. Actually, two parts to it. Speaking about that question and then taking a little time to tell you how we're recalibrating our children's ministry at the conclusion. I'm so excited about where we're going into the fall ministry. I want you to be aware of that. Second question, am I motivating out of my needs or theirs? Third question, important one, am I aware of what's really going on? I had more people come down after the service last week, parents, saying, are you going to address the issue of phones and technology? Week three, come. Number four, is this a ride I really need to go on? A really helpful question to ask. And fifth, am I showing the way to love God? That's on Father's Day. We've invited Tim Johansson, the author of the book Gist, which has as its subtitle, The Essence of Raising Life-Ready Kids. So I borrowed that, and he's a member of Westwood. The book has gone national, really doing well. Very excited to have him. I'll be interviewing him on Father's Day. We have in your program a Bible reading plan. In the last series, it was the first time we had done this. We put a daily reading plan together, our team did, and it was really inspiring, and we got a ton of feedback. So we said, okay, for this series, we're doing the same thing, a good tool, daily reflection, reminder, it's in your program, take that with you. The whole series is based on this beautiful text in Proverbs, good reminder, start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. The English Standard Version translates it this way. It says, train a child in the way they should go. The paraphrase version of the message says it this way, point your children in the direction they should go. But you get the idea that the homes are the center for spiritual growth. And somewhere in the course of history, we began to look to churches to be responsible for the formation of our souls as well as the souls of our children. And we've delegated that responsibility when God always intended our homes to be the center of spiritual growth. You may not have grown up in a home that way, and you'll find this series enriching for you, helpful, but as well a great tool to help teach your children how to grow in the ways of Christ. Last week when I announced this new series, Marty Siegel, who's over at our Minnetonka campus, ended up sending me a note saying, recently my 91-year-old dad, who grew up in orphanages and two foster homes, tough childhood, complimented me and my wife for doing a fine job raising our kids. I responded by telling him that he was the model for me of a great dad. And I asked him how he figured out how to raise three children so well. And Dad responded, it was the 50s. I watched a lot of television. Leave it to Beaver. Yeah, there's other ones. I know there are good ones. Father Knows Best, other ones along the way. I'm not sure what those programs are today, but really television did a lot of teaching of people in terms of how to train their kids in the introduction of television to the world. Well, today's question is, am I preparing them for success and failure? Because so much of the energy we give is to teach them success, because we want them to be successful. It's why the best-selling books are How to Be Successful in Any Given Subject Matter. We want success for our kids. We want success for ourselves. Let me ask a question, though. Is it safe to fail in your own mind? It's a good question. And then, is it safe to fail in your own home? And what are you doing to help your children, if you're a parent, to fail forward? Good questions for us. So much of our energy is around victorious living and success, and we're going to elevate the importance, the essential reality of helping our kids navigate failure. Because we all experience failure. It doesn't discriminate between wealth and status, education and influence. In fact, failure takes all kinds of forms. We fail at work. We fail in relationships. We fail spiritually and morally. We all deal with failure on many fronts. I'm just amazed in my study this week to see the great people in the world who have failed again and again. Albert Einstein failed in math. How can that be?
Or Walt Disney was fired because of lack of creativity. Really now. Or Michael Jordan, who's just basketball. I'm a basketball guy, so I just love great basketball players. But he failed to make his high school basketball team. That's not possible. It is not possible to become Michael Jordan and fail in your basketball team. Amazing thing to consider. Well, Michael Jordan goes on to say in the course of his career, I cannot accept failure. Everyone fails. I can accept failure. Everyone fails at something, but I can't accept not trying. There's a message, a lesson that we want to teach our children to keep on trying. Theodore Roosevelt kind of concurred with that. The only man who never makes a mistake is the man who never does anything. If you just want to sit around and do nothing, man, it's low-risk life. That's what that is. But you'll never achieve your potential. Winston Churchill, probably one of my great leadership heroes here. Success is never final. Failure is never fatal. It's courage that matters most. Just think about that. Yesterday's success doesn't mean tomorrow will be successful or even today. Failure is fatal. It just feels like it's fatal. It never is fatal, but it feels like it is. It's courage that matters most, to pick yourself up and to lean into the reality of a hard world in which we live and then the mistakes that we make. And some of the greatest leaders of Scripture have experienced failure. We know that God promised Abraham a son with his wife Sarah, and they got a little impatient. After all, two decades passed, you would too, and decided to take a shortcut and compromise God's call for that child to come, and he impregnated Sarah's servant along the way. Moses was a murderer. He was a wanted fugitive before he became chosen by God to be the liberator of the people of Israel from the land of Egypt. David was a king who saw a beautiful woman bathing on the top of a rooftop and got caught up in that whole deal and ended up having an affair with her and arranged for the death of her husband. And then he rises up after that through a lot of brokenness, by the way, to become the man after God's own heart. It's astonishing to see the failures of Scripture and that with each failure, God still uses them and he still uses us. You know, there's a fine line between protecting, and I think this line is really important, there's a fine line between protecting kids from pain and then helping them learn from it. It's a fine line from being in a place where you support your kids for where they are, but then also want to challenge them to stretch themselves, to take greater risks. It's a fine line in there. And there's a fine line between encouraging them to play to win, because we want them to win. Everything in us wants them to win, and we want to win as well. And sometimes we project our need to win on them and their need to win. It's a fine line on encouraging them to win and then coming alongside and really preparing them to handle failure. And yet it makes all the difference, because we never stop being a parent. Whether you have young children or you have young adult children. Anybody with young adult children? You thought your parenting challenge was done, didn't you? It never ends for us if you're in that parental role. And there is a reality that we are wired to protect our kids from pain, and that primal instinct of protecting can keep us from equipping them with the life skills needed for life. It's important to help kids choose, as a start point, the standard of measurement for success and failure. And the primary one in the world in which we live, the common one, is comparison to the gifts and the abilities of others, to the bank accounts and possessions of others, to the posture and the status of others. It's just hard not to compare. We see that as the standard of success and failure, which is why I come back and again to the words of Henry Nouwen related to our identity and what true success is. He says, I am not what I have. I am not what I do. I am not what people say about me. See, that's the standard of the world, but I am the son or the daughter of the living God. What an anchor place. Anchor that truth in your kids, because when we understand our belovedness from God, that is the pathway toward true success from his perspective, that we are his beloved and a good picture for us. So what I'd like to do in the message is to look at how God helps us to fail forward. And I've given you, if you look at your teaching outlines, a very simple acronym. And I think in 20 plus years of ministry here, I've done three acronyms. I'm not a huge acronym guy, because you get so many acronyms, you don't remember any of them. But I thought we need something simple, some hooks to put on. So I created a little acronym called CALM, C-A-L-M, inspired by World War II, England, and their theme of prevailing, keep calm and carry on. Because when you fail, you feel like you're about to lose everything. But keep calm and carry on. Calm. C-A-L-M. Let's take a look at four practices to teach children and for us to live ourselves. The first one is to confess your failure or your sin. I want to say this is really important because not all failure is sin. Did you get that? Not all failure is sin. But all sin is failure. But either way, we're called to confess it. That is, to face your fears and your failures honestly. Instead of blaming others, claim responsibility. Teach your children to stand tall and say, yes, I did it. It's incredibly liberating. Instead of looking to someone else as a reason for your failure, honestly look at yourself. And why do we want to teach this? And why do we want to live in this? To protect ourselves from two extremes. The first extreme is the emotional fallout by keeping the thoughts of your failure all bottled up inside, because the little monkeys start to talk and you can go dark real fast if you bottle it up. And the other extreme is guarding against self-justification, where you never could fail or never be wrong. Therefore, you blame everybody else for the reality of what's going on. You become the victim to everybody else, and you don't have the ability to be self-aware. And that's the reminder. We just hate admitting our failures. Isn't that right? Don't you just hate it when you fail? And then to have to go admit it to somebody, it's just brutal beyond measure. But it's so essential to be able to fail forward. Whether that be at work, we're teaching our kids the little chores at home and developing them to when we grow older and get those skills and responsibilities and start to refine them. We're in discovery mode. And again, I go to Michael Jordan because I'm a basketball guy and I think, how can this be with him? But he says, I've missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I've lost almost 300 games 26 times. That means he lost 7,600 games. Michael Jordan, he's just a total loser if you didn't know. The reality is you don't expect that from Michael Jordan. But then he says, this is incredible. He said, I've been trusted to take the game winning shot and missed. I have failed over and over and over again in my life, and that is why I succeed. Now that's the rhythm of understanding, the power of failure that moves us into the future with hope. We fail at work, and we fail with moral and spiritual realities of our lives. So I find encouragement with the truth of Scripture in Romans 3:23, which says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Just a good self-awareness question. How many of you have sinned? You got the all part of that deal text there? Terrific. There's this universal reality. There's a common ground. James 3:2 reinforces it. We all stumble in many ways. It's helpful to know that I'm not the only one in the room who has failed, and embracing that reality, it's part of our growth process. We get to pass that along to our children, and relationally, we fail. I just want to elevate this one piece, because in relationships, I see it again and again. One of the main reasons we end up as pastors in pastoral counseling is the inability of a person to say those two powerful words, I'm sorry. I don't know what happens to us, but we just stop saying it. Reinforce with your children the importance of those words, I'm sorry, because then you hear two other powerful words on the other side of it, I forgive you, which frees you up to move into the future. Confess your failure. That's the first C, and practice to bring to your kids. The second is to ask God into your failure. You would not naturally expect this one, but do you think that God is surprised by your failures? Anybody? Do you feel that? No, you generally don't. I mean, do you think that God sees you fail and then says something, my goodness, never in my wildest dreams did I think Joel would ever do or say something like that. You know, God is not surprised at all. He sees our failures, and yet so often God is the last person whom we turn to. You see this with children very early on too. Their minds start to work when they start to make mistakes and fail, and it becomes obvious, and they repress those feelings. Sometimes they bring that practice all the way into adulthood. They just keep repressing because they've never learned an outlet for that along the way. Sometimes they'll go to mom and dad because they're teachable and they're still wanting to be shaped for a while. And then they hit those teenage years and for some reason they don't go to mom and dad anymore. And they go to their best of friends. But, oh, we need God. We heard that in our faith story. We need God. To go to God and to be able to confess that reality, to invite him into it. There is a scene in Joshua 7 that I find deeply moving. Joshua sends his army into the city of Ai, And they have had, the Hebrew people have had incredible success on the battlefront. And he's just overconfident. He's completely underestimated what he just sent the soldiers into. And Israel's profoundly defeated. And there's death of scores of people. And it was Joshua's mistake. And there's this little scene. And it shows that Joshua falls on his face before God. And he cries out for God to help him. What he's doing is inviting God into his failure because he has no other place to go. It's just so good to do this. It's good to teach your kids to ask God to come into their personal failures because we get God's help when we do that, that God doesn't seek our success first. We get all success driven. He seeks faithfulness. He's always faithful to us. We're not always faithful to him. We fail him miserably. But when we understand that he is faithful to us and we ask him into our place, we get to come into that connection and deepen that bond of affection. I just need God. We get help. And secondly, we get hope. When we turn to God, we draw on his strength so that we can overcome failure. It doesn't become a roadblock. It becomes the stepping stone for whatever is next. Now, we have to lean into it. And it's painful. It's not an easy thing to do, which takes me to the third of the acronym, L, learn from your failure. James reminds us in chapter 1 that in our hardships of life, in our suffering, and in our failings, we mature in the likeness of Christ. He uses them to grow us up. I would say when I think about the fastest growth chapters of my life, they've come out of failure, out of hardship, out of suffering. Would you agree with that? And leaning into it helps shape and give us a compass to move forward because failure is life's best classroom. Failure is life's best classroom. It's the class that we want to skip, by the way. It's kind of like Algebra 2. That was my gig. Do I have to? And failure is that way. We don't want to go into the classroom. We don't want to hear our professor named Failure. And yet, as we hear the professor speak, she's helping us to see the consequences. There really is an impact for the choices that I make, and I get to see them, and I have to own them. But as well, as I step into that classroom, I get this reminder, this picture, that wisdom is coming to me of what not to do or what to do next time around because of what I've learned. It's telling me, the teacher is telling me to get out of bed. I don't know how you are in your hardest points of failing. You know, there's a continuum of failure. Some we can kind of skip over, learn a little from. But there's the deeper failure. You're sick at yourself because of personal failures. And what you want to do really is get into bed, get in the fetal position, and stay there. Or veg out on Netflix for 12 hours or whatever the case might be. You just get paralyzed along the way. C.S. Lewis says, failures are finger posts on the road to achievement. I love Englishmen. Finger posts. Those are mile markers. They're reminders of growth. We're making progress. We're making it down the road a little bit further. Let me just give you two questions to ask your kids that are really simple but important. What's the one thing I can learn from this? It's a good one to ask yourself in failing because we want to skip over the failure, just move on. No. What one thing can I learn from this? And secondly, how can I avoid making the same mistake again? Now I'm reinforcing a way of life that will be better. Being constructive will protect us from getting stuck in denial or negativity or apathy. Tom Watson, who is the founder of IBM, managed that for 40 years. He writes about a junior executive who lost $10 million on one of their venture efforts. $10 million. And you can imagine what that meeting was like when he met with Watson, that junior executive, for the first time after those huge losses. And he says to Watson, "I guess you want my resignation." And Watson replied, "You can't be serious. I just spent $10 million educating you." Yeah, great boss. I mean, just go, no way, you're not leaving. You're in bondage here the rest of your life. We're going to help you through this. It's mistakes are great teachers. Just, friends, don't waste your failures. Learn all you can from them. Fourth, make God's promise clear in failure. Well, which promise? Can I elevate it for you? Move on. Move on. Got to learn from it, but then move on. God wants us to confess our failures. He wants us to invite him into it. He wants us to learn all that we can, but he wants us to move on from that given place. Proverbs 24:16 reminds us, "For a righteous man may fall 7 times and rises again." We keep rising and learning and growing. It's the journey of life. that God doesn't want us to stay down, that our greatest story is not in never failing, but it is rising each time. As Winston Churchill says, it's the courage to keep going on. Calm, C-A-L-M. I think you can remember that one. Confess it. Confess it. Ask God into it. Learn from it. Move on from it. We're celebrating high school graduates today, and they will walk across the platform. Some already have, as many of you in the room have walked across the platform. And whenever you walk up across a platform to receive your diploma, there's always a person strategically placed as you come up the stairs, and they whisper in your ear, keep moving. Keep moving. Keep moving. To get the degree, you got to keep moving so we can finish well in the presence of the Lord. Our Next Gen team has been recalibrating our fall ministry over the last several months. I'm telling you, I am so jazzed for what's going to happen with kids' ministry. We want to use the series to help invite you in and get ready for what's happening into the fall. I want you to meet some of our team members over the course of these weeks. I want you to hear some of the work that they're doing. I want to engage you. You know, it's interesting. We pay a lot of attention to getting our kids into sports, into school, signing them up for classes, but their faith formation is the most important formation of all of their life. They will take it with them to their grave, and we're going to give our best effort around this thing to see that our homes become the center of spiritual growth, because that's God's vision for all of us, and we need a whole community of faith to be part of it. I want you to meet a few of the team members from our Next Gen team and hear a little bit about some of the work that we're doing.
Hi, Westwood. My name is Jill Fox, and I serve here as the Next Gen pastor, working with our kids ministry, student ministries, and college ministry. I want to invite you to be a part of something that's happening here this fall. We are going to be strategically connecting home and church, and you're not going to want to miss it.
Hello, families. My name is Eric Tyson. I'm the Kids Ministry Director here at Westwood. And I want to talk to you about something really exciting that we're working on for the fall. It's called Launch. Launch will be taking place on Sunday, September 17th and 24th for kids, and on Wednesday, September 20th and 27th for students. Launch is a family event, and it's going to be a lot of fun. There's going to be food, there's going to be family-friendly activities and experiences, plus we're going to have an open house type feel for all of our programs that your families can come and check it out. Launch is all about connecting church and home. Deuteronomy 6, 5 through 7 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commands I give you today are upon your heart. Impress them upon your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk on the road, when you lie down and when you get up. God has given you, as parents, grandparents, aunts and uncles, the joy and the responsibility of helping your kids along their spiritual journey. And it's our privilege as a church to help you along with this process. During the launch events, we will also be holding quick 10-minute launch talks for those of you raising kids and students to attend. These talks are designed to encourage you as parents. Plus, they're gonna give you tips and resources to help you effectively connect the church and the home.
Hey everybody, I'm Kevin Klingbeil, and I have the privilege of leading our middle school ministry, and we are really excited about this fall, but we are really looking forward to our launch kits, where we'll resource parents and families to connect church and home. And each kit will focus on one aspect of who God is for a full year according to your student's age and understanding. From birth through high school, we're gonna focus on a ton, from God is loving to God is understanding, God is compassionate towards us, that God is sovereign, and God is never changing, plus so many more. Included in every kit, we'll have scripture for you to memorize as a family, along with family activities and outings that you can do together, as well as a prayer of blessing that you can pray over your child each and every night. Our hope is that you, as grandparents and parents, aunts and uncles, feel resourced and prepared to raise life-ready kids. We've prayed a lot about it, and we hope that you find it helpful.
We're excited to be with you at launch. We'll see you in the fall.
Every week I'm meeting with one of the members of these teams around something that they're doing for the fall. I'm telling you, I wish I was a kid again. These kid packets that they're putting together are amazing and full of fun, creative things. We're just really committed to discipling. You think about how the church stays alive, how people stay alive. It's through the discipleship process. We want our kids to understand what it means to be a learner, a follower of Jesus Christ. and the lover of our souls every day. So you've got the save the date card. That tells you how serious we are about this. It's like a wedding. Put it on your calendar. It's important. Don't let sports, don't let anything else get in the way. Be present if this relates to where you're at in your journey. And then also, just to give you a quick flow, the primary focus of Next Gen, so that takes us from preschool all the way to college, carries these themes, and they're creating the curricula for the fall related to these rhythms. God is, I am, I will, my parents can, my church will. We see ourselves as a resource to you, but we see the home as the center of spiritual growth. And you may feel, I don't know how to do that in my home. We are going to help you. You will grow in faith as well with your children as they grow in faith. So it's going to be an exciting series for us, an exciting fall. We look forward to all that God is doing in it. I'm going to invite you to stand. We're going to pray together for our families and for the privilege to know Christ and to make him known. Father, we are mindful that we need a lot of help because of sin in the world and brokenness. We do make mistakes. We do fail. We do sin. And you are the only one there to catch us. You are the safety net to the reality of life as we know it. And you remind us in the scriptures about your promises that God's love, your love, is not dependent on our success, that your love never fails, that we are accepted in you on the basis of grace and not our performance. That is really liberating. And you make this promise that you will use our failures, that we can know that in all things, you work for the good of those who love you, who have been called according to your purpose. In all things, even our failures, you bring good out of it. Lord, help us to prepare for success and failure to grow in your likeness, we ask. Amen.